Hey, welcome to episode 88 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we are talking about Star Wars Rebels, Kong Skull Island, and Iron Fist.
Okay.
And then we're bringing back News Bites.
Are you William Shatner with the dramatic pause?
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm well aware of that.
You saw the look on my face. So if you guys have been listening the last few weeks, thank you. We've been kind of way ahead of schedule. So we're actually kind of real time-ish this week, so we can do News Bites, which I'm excited about.
Sure.
All right. How's your week going?
Oh, it's fine.
Just fine.
Yeah.
Super fine. Go follow Johnny on Facebook and you get all the vague booking. It's fun. All right, so kicking off.
What do you
off.
Want me to say? I'm going to firebomb the hell out of this place?
Ooh, hey, don't firebomb my house. I live here. My stuff is here.
You just told everybody that we're at your house, so now they know where we are. The government knows where we are. Your house is probably wiretapped now.
Yeah, either way.
It probably already was wiretapped.
Anyway. all right, so starting off News Bites on a sad news, Bernie Wrightson died.
Yep.
And Bernie Wrightson's important because he's the co-creator of Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was here not too long ago in Cincinnati.
It's been a few years.
At the expo.
Yeah.
When they had like the team.
That's been a few years ago.
Which was really cool. And I was really bummed that I didn't like get something Swamp Thing done. Now, in all fairness, you're definitely the bigger Swamp Fan thing out of the two of us. Swamp Fan thing.
That's what you said.
Swamp Thing fan.
Yeah.
Reverse it.
Yes.
Bernie's
Swamp Thing is an awesome looking Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
No.
That's the first one I remember because I had one of the smaller DC Digest books, and it was a Brave and the Bold, and then the back of it, it had an advertisement for Swamp Thing, and it was the original run. It wasn't Alan Moore run. It was the Bernie Wrightson stuff. So that image kind of sticks with you.
Yeah. He was 68. You know,
he'd been sick for a little while.
Yeah.
So.
It's a loss, definitely, for sure.
Sure.
But at least we have all the great Swamp Thing and just his art.
It sucks that you won't get left anything behind. Else, but you have everything that he did. Mm-hmm. So it's like, enjoy. It's like any artist. You know, Picasso didn't live forever.
No.
None of them did. So you enjoy what they did and, you know.
Yeah.
I compared Wrightson to Picasso because it does
enough,
work.
Man.
I mean, you know.
And his most recent comic book collaboration was with Steve Niles, 30 Days a Night, with a book series, just a 3-issue series called Frankenstein Alive. Alive.
Right.
So.
Because he's known for his Frankenstein story and that. So.
Yep. So anyway, RIP Bernie, man. You were a great artist.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for making comics better. All right. So the next one is the Bat, quote unquote, centric teaser for the Justice League trailer, which is coming out on Saturday.
Why on Saturday?
Okay. So this is the thing. So we missed the Wonder Woman trailer, which also came out on a Saturday. A couple weeks ago.
Oh, well, yeah.
So
we had pre-recorded.
Right, because we had pre-recorded. Yeah. But anyway.
Right.
Like Marvel releases their trailers for the first time on the Jimmy Kimmel Show for the ABC tie-in, the Disney thing.
Right, yeah, it's all owned by the same company type thing.
I find this crazy interesting that they're doing this on Saturdays because I feel like they're doing it in a way where there's not a lot of competition going on.
Right.
All right, hold on one second. All right, we're back. Sorry about that. My doorbell rang.
Yep, it did. You probably could hear it.
And it was the tiny little kid bot 07.
She ain't so tiny.
She's not. All right, what were we talking about? We were talking about Bill. Or no, we were talking about the Justice League trailer and Saturdays and stuff like that. This is interesting for sure. I'm definitely going to watch. The little teaser was okay. I think the cooler thing...
Is it going to be a full trailer?
Yeah, it's going to be a full trailer.
Okay.
But then the other thing is that they've released a whole bunch of artwork, and there's a like Justice League Unite webpage that came out.
Okay.
Where it's all very like Photoshoppable, like images and stuff. Where they want people, it seems to me like they want people to take and like, you know, actually have some fun with it. Which, is kind of atypical for Warner's.
Well, no, they're looking for somebody to replace everybody.
Yeah. Well, okay, so speaking of that, did you see the rumor about Green Lantern, the Green Lantern movie, and who they want to direct it?
What's his name?
David Goyer.
Yeah, Goyer.
What? Like, why? Why does that guy still keep getting talked to about comic book movies?
I don't know.
Anyway. All right, so there was that.
Because DC can't find anybody else because they're all working for Marvel.
But they're not.
Dude, seriously, most of the people are working for Marvel. They're not like on the front line directors and all that, but they're working for Marvel.
Why? Well, why can't they work for both?
Because they're probably under contract.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I was Disney and Marvel, I would have people under contract. You're not working for the other one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair
enough. Why would you not?
Maybe they'll hire Joss Whedon.
Well, if he didn't want to be an Avenger director anymore, why not let him do that? I mean, you know, give him a try.
Yeah, why not?
You know, why haven't they asked Kevin Smith? They have him doing all this other bullshit with the TV stuff and that. And it's like, why haven't they asked him, would you direct one of these movies? You know, because they're still pissed off at him because of the Superman thing?
Maybe.
Oh, I'm sure that's what it is. So. Because the movie division and the TV division are two separate divisions because they're dumb.
Yeah, well, it's the multiverse.
I would rather go see a Justice League movie that had the actors from the TV shows in them tied to some of the actors that are in the movies. You know, I would rather see Grant Gustin as The Flash and have Stephen Amell as Arrow and have Ben Affleck as Batman and have Gal Gadot as... do you have something playing? I can hear.
No, it's them.
Oh, okay.
And then Tyler Holcomb as Superman.
Yeah.
I liked him much better than...
Oh, I watched a movie yesterday with him, and I can't remember. Everybody Wants Some.
Yep.
Yeah.
I made it through about half of that and turned it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I liked it. Not as good as Dazed and Confused, but...
Richard Linklater, man.
Yeah. Loves his baseball.
He does love his baseball. Yep. Have you seen my baseball? Anyway.
Okay.
Something about Mary throwback. What? All right, so then our last little bit of
never seen it
newsy goodness. You've never seen it? Oh wow. Is the
Some
unworthy
movies are killed because people just are like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen this? No.
All right. You should totally see it. It's funny. It's the only good Ben Stiller movie. Yeah. Actually, that's not true either. But so we get the we finally get the answer to what made Thor unworthy.
And yeah.
This is going to be a little spoilery.
If you haven't read it by now, come on.
Yeah. Well, it just came out today. So
no, it came out like 2 days ago.
Oh, yesterday. Today's Thursday.
Yeah. Well, the book came out yesterday, but the news was out on Tuesday.
Right. So I've been reading,
comic book stores get their books on Tuesday and most of them post shit now.
Yeah.
So.
I've been reading The Unworthy Thor.
Yeah.
And it's been really good.
Well, sure.
And I've been reading Aaron's run on Thor. I'm reading The Mighty Thor.
Is he still writing that too?
Yeah. And like, I'm really enjoying Thor as a character lately.
So Jason
Aaron's
just sitting over in Asgard writing everything.
Just making it rain.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, so back
that might explain some of the look of the Thor in the next movie.
Yeah,
with the short hair and all that might be tying to this unworthy.
I think Chris Hemsworth is just tired of the long hair.
Maybe,
but so in Original Sin, Thor became unworthy wielding the hammer of Mjolnir, because Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Isn't that what she called it?
She calls it that at one point. Yeah. She goes,
meow.
There goes Meemaw.
There goes Meemaw. Anyway, there goes Mama. So Fury whispers something into his ear.
Sure.
And he immediately drops the hammer and it's stuck on the moon.
Yeah.
And this made him unworthy of, you know,
being Thor.
Yeah. Whoever. Be so worthy.
Wasn't he Odin's son now?
Yeah. So now he's just the Odin son.
Yeah.
And we finally found out what Fury said.
Yeah.
And do we want to spoil it?
You can if you want to. Let's just put it this way. We won't say.
Let's
not say what he said. But the reason why he can't wield the hammer is because he does not have faith in himself.
Right.
He lost faith in himself because of what Nick tells him.
And it's such an awesome throwback to other stuff Aaron's written about Thor, and it brings it all ties everything together. It's a great little bow that they put on everything. I don't think we should spoil it.
But next issue, he'll be Optimus Prime Thor, and you know, he'll be wielding the Matrix of Leadership Mjolnir. I think, you know, that's fair enough. What is it, Ultimate Mjolnir?
Yeah, Ultimate Mjolnir.
Yeah,
which is from the Ultimate Universe, and that is partially from Secret Wars and partially from when the Ultimate Universe
collapsed.
Yeah, collapsed.
It all collapsed during
but it was because of Secret Wars. Now that I'm, as I said that, I was like, wait, that's not right. If you haven't read Unworthy Thor, you don't need to really have read
Mighty Thor. You might want to read that issue of Original Sin.
Right.
And you might want to read some of the stuff once you find out what was said to him.
So, or even,
I'd say read the first two trades in Aaron's run.
But you can read Unworthy Thor 1 through 5 and really enjoy it.
It's just a miniseries, right?
It is.
And then it'll be the Ultimate Thor.
No, he's going. They're dumping it back into the Mighty Thor with issue 20.
Okay.
So it'll be June, whatever.
And will it be him and Thor running around?
Yes.
Okay.
So at least.
Well, I wonder if he'll. Will he be Odin's son or will he be something else now that he's.
They call him War Thor.
War Thor? Yeah. Well, there's probably a war coming in.
Because the other thing too is the Ultimate Mjolnir is definitely different than the 616 Mjolnir, and it looks more like Beta Ray Bill's.
What I thought it was when I seen the picture.
Cracker, what's the name of his?
I forget at this
it's
point.
It's Thunder something.
I've got too much information running around in my head.
Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes,
Stormbringer.
Yeah. Anyway,
it only took a few minutes, and then I was like, "Yay! There it is, Stormbringer."
Hey, your brain turned back on. Awesome. I mean, some cool stuff happened, some cool comic book stuff, some unfortunate comic book stuff. We got some movie stuff. It's fun to just be talking about current stuff and not having to worry about future. Anywho. All right.
You're worried about the future?
The future.
Is there something wrong with the future?
What, did we turn out to be assholes?
No.
So no, it's your kids. Yeah,
no. Always been an asshole. Didn't have to do anything with the future.
All right, so let's talk about Star Wars Rebels Twin Sons.
Sure.
Episode 20, Season 3. Just aired this past weekend on, the 18th? March 18th. This was...
I want to say thanks to Star Wars on Facebook for spoiling it, because I hadn't watched it.
Yeah.
And they posted something, and I went, wait a minute, what?
Okay, so I watched this on the Disney XD app.
Sure.
And it's usually available like...
right after it's on?
No, like tens of hours in advance. Like,
oh, really?
Huh. Like, I think the week before, I watched the episode at on Saturday morning.
Oh, wow.
At, 8 o'clock. I watched this one early, too. So I didn't get... StarWars.com didn't kill it for me.
Well, they just need to understand that people do DVR stuff and do work on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's off on the weekend.
Mm-mm.
So, don't post that somebody died until at least a week later.
And we're going to spoil this because you can't not talk about
this. At this point, it's been spoiled already.
Yeah, when it's on the main Star Wars page.
Yeah.
And everybody's sent their RIP Maul tweets and stuff like that. What did you think of the episode as a whole?
I enjoyed it.
It's a 100% filler episode.
Maybe. I don't think so.
I hope there's repercussions down the line.
I think with Rogue One and this, it's like they're gluing the universe together.
Okay.
In pieces.
So this is just another
puzzle piece.
It's kind of
like a puzzle piece into the main. We know what one puzzle looks like.
Right.
And we know what another puzzle looks like. But if you think about it, and actually that's a pretty good description. There was a puzzle that was a picture of the entire Star Wars universe that had from Anakin to Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Before Force Awakens came out.
Sure.
So I feel like they took that puzzle, split it in half, and now they're filling in the holes. And
it's
we're getting
middle
section. Yeah, we got the Clone Wars in there, and we're getting the Rebels pieces and the Rogue One type pieces.
Yeah.
And I think Han Solo will have a little bit of it. I mean, they said Han Solo is not going to be
on Rebels?
Like Rogue One.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I saw
it's going to be an adventure, adventure movie. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be that whole thing where he mentioned to Lando in Return of the Jedi about the Battle of Tanab. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be what it is because Lando Calrissian's obviously in the movie.
Lando Calrissian.
Yep.
As the great, great, great Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, which I freaking called.
Yeah.
Go back to our Infamous Podcast Twitter account and you'll see it months and months and months ago. Anyway, I loved this episode.
Yeah.
I loved it. I've watched it a couple times now.
Yeah, I didn't delete it right away because I'm going to watch it again. And I did watch the death scene again because I was like,
okay, so the first
this is the craziest fight ever because nothing happened.
The first time I watched it, I was like, it was like, did I fall asleep? Did I miss something?
It's that whole thing where you're watching, like, especially for us, because there's the commercials that you fast forward through. And you're fast forwarding through the commercials. And I'm like, it's getting closer and closer to the end, and they haven't even seen each other yet.
So on the app, like the last 15 minutes, no commercial breaks.
No commercial breaks.
So, you know, so it's not like necessarily the same thing as the broadcast. But yeah, you're right. I was like, kind of, I was checking the time. Is this,
well, literally,
is
like,
is this going to carry over into the finale?
And they did a commercial break.
Yeah.
Like, right, Maul comes up.
Right
and
as
says,
that stroke was going
no,
down.
No, right as Maul says, like, you know, I'm here type thing, they go to commercial break. Yeah. And it's like, oh, so we're going to get a 5-minute fight sequence at the end. And it's literally come back, and Obi-Wan's like, you need to leave now. Young one.
Kicking Ezra out.
Get out of here. You go this way and you'll get to Mos Eisley.
Pound snow, you mook.
Yeah,
you're going to find Prey Vizsla's ship.
Yeah.
Take it and go.
That's pretty much what it was, too. Yeah. Was, you know, Maul still had that ship.
How do these ships, like, you know, how is it just anyone can steal these ships, right?
Well, you know, there's no security codes.
I guess not. You don't need a key to start it.
I mean, the Millennium
like
Falcon doesn't seem like it would be easy to steal, but it seems like there might be some more security needed to be added to that thing.
So
as they're getting
like
as they get off, does an R2-D2 beep beep?
Oh, that was the greatest Chewbacca thing I ever did, and it was recorded. Yes.
No, that would be the car alarm, like.
So let's before we talk about the fight, let's jump back to the beginning, real quick, because we kind of skipped over the what set this episode up. So Ezra has the holocrons start talking to him, and the recording of Obi-Wan Kenobi telling the Jedi to stay away.
This is a warning. This is a warning.
It was great to have James Arnold Taylor back, you know, and, you know, this is a warning. This is a warning. And then the Sith holocron is like, I found him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ezra's like, crap, I led Maul to Master Kenobi, who's still alive. And so he goes to Hera. He goes to Kanan.
And everybody's kind of like Kenobi's not alive. He died.
He's dead. And if he were alive, he'd be, what would he be doing on some backwater planet, you know? So Ezra, in his
rebellious way.
More, you know, we haven't seen this level of rebellion in Ezra in a while.
Yeah.
Just takes off in an A-Wing, which was great the way he forged the documents and everything.
Well, my thing was is the chopper part where it was like Chopper's like looks and goes, oh, you know, I know what he's about to do.
And Chopper stows away within the A-Wing and, you know,
one of the best, funniest moments in the whole show, too.
What do I remember what?
Yeah. Just pops up behind him. He's like, oh, what?
Almost crashes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so then Ezra gets down to Tatooine, and he's looking for Obi-Wan, and he's attacked almost immediately by sand people.
Yeah.
By Tusken Raiders, who destroy his A-Wing.
Sure.
And so he and...
Exactly. And then they get sliced up by Maul.
Dude, the red lightsaber has got to be the image of fear for all sand people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the end of Darth Vader number 25. Yeah. Still want to know where that's going to go, because you know that's a story.
I don't think we'll get that story anytime soon.
Yeah, we'll get it eventually.
But so they're trekking through the desert.
Since we're getting another Darth Vader series.
I know, I can't wait. But it's when he first becomes Vader. Yeah. But it's still, I can't wait.
It's that Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Little bitch boy Vader.
No.
But yeah, so, you know, there's all of that going on, and Chopper runs out of juice, and Ezra's like...
Well, they
like,
both do. They all,
well,
like,
Ezra's
die.
Like, Ezra's like, I failed you, and then passes out. He sees Maul, and that when he attacks and drops the lightsaber, I'm like, man, how far gone is he right now? And then you see the bottom of a Jedi robe and a pair of feet,
you know,
just coming,
is,
and
right?
you know exactly who it is.
I told her after we watched it, I said, you know that Obi-Wan knew that they both were on Tatooine before they were on Tatooine.
Yeah.
I'm like, because he's been sitting around practicing to speak to the dead forever. So
he's more powerful than you can even imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
but
I just wanted to, hello there.
I was waiting for that. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that it didn't at the same time. But Steve Stanton crushed it.
I said he's probably about 5-6 years older than me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, somebody who went and seen that movie and watched it over and over again. So you hear Alec Guinness, you hear Peter Cushing over and over again, you mock them to the point that you sound like them. And it's like, you know, he's played Tarkin and Kenobi now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
So David got to interview him.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, check out TV Talk or Rebels Recap or whatever on Collider for just go follow David on Twitter. It'll be on there. but anyway, he sounded awesome, and like the pep talk that he gave Ezra was perfect. Like, I'm saying like a lot today.
Okay.
But it was perfect. And
like, that's fine.
Like totally. Okay. It was so totes.
Oh, my God.
Perfect.
I'll pick this box up and hit you with it.
Oh, please don't. There's comic books in there.
Yeah, it'll hurt.
but it really was. It was this great thing. And he's explaining to Ezra how, you know, this is my thing that I have to do. You have to do
your
thing.
Well, it was the thing of, you've let Maul manipulate you enough.
Right.
Like, be yourself. Be who you are. Because you're here, you've messed up other things in the universe that could be happening.
Right.
And now you have to go back. You have to go do what you're supposed to be doing.
To quote Star Wars Aftermath Empire End, he created a shatter point.
Yeah.
So.
Is that their new thing?
Shatter points? Yeah, that's Palpatine there.
Okay.
But so he has the talk. Maul shows up, you know, talks a little trash to Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And then Obi-Wan's like, all right, you two get out of here. Go that way.
Right.
And then as he's leaving, I'll see you soon, apprentice.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was like,
one last little jab.
Get that
there,
little
right?
dig in on him.
So the little conversation that Maul and Kenobi had, just that brief thing before, you know, the fight, was so cool to see, because these two characters haven't seen each other for
since Mandalore.
What, decades? A couple decades.
Yeah.
20 years or so. And since Mandalore and since Satine died
since
and
Satine,
you know, the fall of Black Sun and at least Black Sun as far as Maul was concerned.
Right.
And just I love Sam Witwer as Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really like,
well, and the best part is he goes, why are you even here?
Yeah.
What are you on this planet for? You could be out doing something else. And then he's like, wait a minute, there's another reason you're here, isn't there?
What are
you
protecting?
Are you protecting something?
Something or someone.
Yeah. And then it's like, at that point, you're like, well, Obi-Wan, you just got to kill him.
Well, as soon as he said, or someone, the blue lightsaber fires up.
Yep.
And so in this just stage, like, two really cool things happen. One, he does that classic Ewan pose and then moves into the classic Alec Guinness pose. And I was like, so nerding out. You know, because I love Obi-Wan. I mean, like, he's, in my opinion, if the Jedi Order were, like, run by him, they wouldn't have been brought down by two schmucks from Naboo and Tatooine, you know? but it was so cool. And then the fight.
What fight?
Well, I mean, exactly. It was essentially four moves.
Yeah.
It's a block, slice, fall, dead.
Yeah.
You know? but,
Yeah, it was more like, you know, more heartening than anything, because Obi-Wan didn't have any, like, you know, all the shit that Maul put him through, Obi-Wan, like, held him at the end.
Yeah.
And Maul was like, whatever you're doing is going to
he asked, avenge us. Is it the chosen one?
Yeah.
And he says yes. And then his dying words are, he will avenge us.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
wow, because you really hate Palpatine.
Well, yeah,
you
and it's really like, I need to read Palpatine. That story. There's the comic book mm-hmm. that's the arcing story right. between that, where he ends in
Clone Wars
and where he shows up
where
in
he's
Rebels.
In that, like, dungeon and everything.
Yeah, so it's like, I need to find that story because I want to know what the hell did Palpatine do to him.
You can either do it on the Dark Horse app or you can do it on Comixology.
Right, yeah.
So,
Or I could actually buy the comic books from a comic book store.
Yeah, but if you buy it from Comixology, the artists and the writers and stuff actually get money for it. If you buy it from the comic book store,
the
they don't get any
The comic book store gets money from it.
Well.
Yeah. Do you want your comic books just closed?
Six of one, half a dozen of another. Yeah. So, anyway.
I look at it this way. Anyway. The comic book artists and writers got the money when they wrote the book and they got paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
On the back end, the back issues that the store bought... that the writers and artists got paid for, the ones they got stuck with are what pay their bills.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, just so phenomenal the way they did this. And for what was essentially a filler episode.
Yeah.
I
don't feel like that. I feel like that was the conclusion of an arc.
Yeah.
It was conclusion of an arc that had been going since Clone Wars.
Okay.
And this was the end.
I can
this
get on board with that. Yeah. I can see that.
You can literally watch from the time that Maul is found by Savage.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch every episode that Maul's in.
Which I did.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You can watch that as an arc. It's literally like a movie.
Yeah.
And it's just the Darth Maul movie.
Yeah, because I did that. And then Twilight of the Apprentice. And then the other Maul episode from this season. And yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You started it with the end of Phantom Menace when he gets...
Oh, I didn't go there.
I know, but if you really wanted to do it, you could start with when the gates open and the Duel of Fate music starts and that happens.
Dun, 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 dun,
and then you go to, you know, Savage finding what that thing was underneath the ground.
Spider-Maul. All right. We've talked a lot about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kong Skull Island.
Sure.
You hated this movie.
No.
Hated.
Why would you even say that?
Because when you text me, you're like, I loved Skull Island. I mean, that obviously means you
No. That's you. You're the opposite person.
No, I loved this movie. I thought this was great.
Which means you hated it.
I did. You know, I'm not going to buy it on iTunes or anything when it comes out. I will say, this was a one, and I think this is just the way movies are made now.
Mm-hmm.
It started as a slow burn.
You think it was a slow burn?
I do. And because they were world building in a period piece in the 70s.
See, I don't feel like it was
Vietnam.
A slow burn because of the thing with the World War II pilots fighting on the island.
That was the opening salvo.
That's an opening, but it was a cool opening because they showed Kong, but they don't. And you're like, what's going on here?
Well, there was that. But I'm saying when they hopped to Vietnam, right? When they made that time jump. It was a little slow at first. It definitely picks up
Well, you
quickly.
Had to introduce the characters.
Well,
and the way that
the
they
world.
Did the introduction of the characters is like a 70s movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally is like what, you know, The Sting is a good example. Mm-hmm. Everybody's introduced in their own sequence, but they're being recruited by somebody.
Right.
And that's the way it was in this.
I'll just say I want more John Goodman and Corey Hawkins and stuff together.
Yeah.
They were great.
Yeah.
Corey Hawkins, for those of you not familiar, he was Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton. He's not Jack Bauer on the new 24.
Yeah,
he's Heath on Walking Dead.
Right.
That guy is one of the more underrated actors currently.
Yeah.
He's a freaking chameleon because it took me a minute to be like, is that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is. I loved him in this movie. I thought he was great as the scientist.
Yeah.
You know, the nerdy guy, but like not so nerdy that, you know, but.
Do you think he'll show up?
Yes.
In makeup?
Yes.
And, you know.
I hope it's him in makeup at least. Or, you know, you got to think of who could play him.
Not Samuel L. Jackson.
No.
Denzel. Denzel.
That's, I don't know, Terrence Howard, no. Don Cheadle.
No.
Don Cheadle's too short.
Denzel. Well, Denzel would kind of like fit into that universe of being like the serious, you know, Raymond Burr and Godzilla and the original Godzilla type.
I did think the cast was really good.
Oh yeah, it overall. Was a solid cast.
I snapped and I shared the picture on Twitter where I, essentially this is Loki, Captain Marvel, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E walking through the woods with Nick Fury and, you know, trying to
get Dan Connor.
Well, Dan Connor, you had Cal Naughton Jr. Yeah. You know, that was the one takeaway from this movie for me was all the recognizable faces.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's not a, I know that guy. It's like, that's that character. That's right. That character.
I think that's what this movie needed, really. Well, for, you know.
But Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
His little action sequence there with the sword. Mm-hmm. Was probably like the coolest part of the movie.
Well, and I mean,
when he kind of
chameleoned it up too. Yeah. I mean,
well, because at first it's like I knew he was in it, but he kind of looked like Alexander Skarsgård in that scene in the pool hall.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, when he's slicing the Minox in half with the samurai sword, right. That was pretty cool. Yeah. I don't know. What did you think?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next. Destroy All Monsters.
Yeah. Is that what's next?
Oh, I think that'll be the next one. But with the stinger at the end, it's like...
The stinger at the end did a great job. They showed to Godzilla.
Gigan, Ghidra, Mothra.
They showed the rift.
Yeah.
From Pacific Rim.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so there's a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah.
Awesome at the beginning because Monarch, who, if you've seen the newest Godzilla movie, Monarch is the... thing they keep talking about in that Monarch on the briefcase that John Goodman's carrying, and it's like, oh, so you're the guy.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then by the end, when you get to the stinger, because obviously this has been out for a few weeks, so
yeah,
spoilers are spoilers at this point. When you get to the stinger, and it's like, this is a bigger operation than you can imagine, you know. When Corey Hawkins comes into the room with the mirrors and Hiddleston and Larson are sitting there.
They didn't need the government funding. They just needed the army escort.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, literally, that's what it was.
The helicopter scheme was so cool. Flying into the island because these
helicopter pilots suck.
But they didn't lose any helicopters flying in through the storm. That was really cool. Now, when you realize the 50 caliber bullets aren't doing anything to the giant monkey swatting you
fly
out of the
away.
Sky.
Fly away. Yeah, just... fly away.
Although when he did throw the tree through the windshield, that was pretty great.
And you know who else I was happy to see in this movie was Shea Whigham.
Yeah,
I was like, the dude's awesome and everything, but he never is like the lead actor. Mm-mm. He's always the quiet guy in the back.
Yeah,
even when he was on Agent Carter, it was like, you know, why do you kill him and everything?
He's like Sean Bean.
Yeah, he is. He's the American Sean Bean. Maybe they should do a movie together.
But they both have to die. And it's got to be like a murder-suicide
thing. Ooh, ooh. Well, because everything's remakes now. They could be... and it totally just left my head. Redford and Newman. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah, and I can't even think of it right
stuck
now.
Stuck somewhere in my brain.
Yeah, but they could do that because they both die.
There you go. Yeah, no, he was great. I love him. He's been in a bunch of stuff lately, too, like outside of this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know.
And then the one dude who was writing the letters to his kid is in Black Mirror.
Toby Kibble.
Yeah, which I just watched that episode of Black Mirror.
That's Dr. Doom from the Fantastic Four movie.
That is Dr. Doom.
I was like, when they killed him, I was like, oh, okay. Wait, hold on. That's all right. I'm okay with that.
Fanforstic.
Yeah, well, that's what you call it.
Because that's how it's spelled.
No, I just say a Fantastic Four.
Fantastic.
Wow,
that movie was
turned
awful.
Into an M&M CD with all the puking noises. Yeah, the puking noises.
So Kong was awesome. The Skull Crushers were awesome.
Everything that every monster creature that was on that island was totally like cool.
So he fights
the tree spider.
The tree spider was cool. The little like. The int that was more like an ant, you know, that he was sitting on and then it like...
Oh, okay.
That little thing.
It knocked him up. Yeah, it knocked him off.
He was cool. But I think my favorite, like, just Kong battle was against the squid.
Yeah.
And so,
and then he ate him.
So, well, he's sitting in the water and he's kind of like cleaning himself off. Yeah. And like, you know, and then this, like, he like gets all nervous all of a sudden.
Well, you see it when Toby's in the water cleaning himself off, and you just see the water ripple like out in the distance.
Yeah, it's like,
and
it's what
like,
is it?
Like, is he going to die? And then you're like, you see Kong and you're like, oh, okay, he's not going to die.
No. But then Kong gets attacked by this thing, and the way he has to fight it off.
Yeah.
And then, he crushes its head,
mm-hmm.
and when he does this, and this was my, like, my favorite part, is the ink comes up.
Out.
And it was so cool. But then he takes and he rips a piece of the arm off, and he just starts eating it
while it's still wrapped
while
around
it's still
him.
All wrapped around him, and he's like slurping it up like spaghetti. Yeah, and, like, it was really cool. The effects in this were great.
Yeah,
at no time did I was it like, oh, those look awful, or you know. Like,
even
this
on the we've seen it on a smaller screen, and even on the smaller screen, I was like, you know, this is really well done effects.
I was in theater 8 at the Regal, which is not the smallest screen, but it's like it's not the RPX screen,
right?
And I texted you, go see it on the biggest screen possible, and you didn't have a chance, but yeah, I'm really upset that I didn't go see this one in the IMAX,
yeah. Like, it's still out there. Still go see it. Go see movies multiple times. So
I have, I have 100 things I need to see. Like, I still haven't seen John Wick 2,
or the Lego Batman movie,
Or Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. So I'm behind, and I'm gonna go see Power Rangers this weekend. So I think I'm gonna take the kiddo. All right. So yeah, all in all, I think I give King Kong definitely an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Didn't enjoy it as much as Logan.
Really? Okay.
But it was definitely...
I don't think they can be compared.
Well, I'm just saying for my movie-going enjoyment. Okay. Like, you know, I was more
I enjoyed
in,
this more than Logan.
I was more into Logan than I was to
this. Okay, I enjoyed this more. But I enjoy monster movies more than you do, too, so...
I like monster movies when there's robots fighting the monsters. Yeah. So...
Then you don't like monster movies. You like monster robot movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you like Transformers versus monsters.
Pacific Rim, right there.
Transformers versus Godzilla.
Battle Jocks, or whatever. Rocket
Robot Jocks. Jocks.
Yeah, thank you.
Robot Jocks.
Remember that one?
I tried not to. Yeah.
Like, you know, Power Rangers, Voltron, that kind of stuff. I'm into that. All right. You ready?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Are we
going somewhere?
Yeah, Kun Lun.
Oh.
No, we're going to run away.
It's gone.
It's gone. All right. Again, we're going to spoil the hell out of
it. Or was it just a dream?
Are we going to lightly spoil this or spoil the hell out of it?
I don't care.
Let's spoil the hell out of it.
Sure. Whatever you want to do.
So, Iron Fist finally hit Netflix.
Now they're saying it's the second most successful Netflix show that of the Marvel shows.
Behind Luke Cage?
No, behind Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
Second most successful.
Oh, okay.
Second most successful.
Well, because Luke Cage crashed Netflix on the first day.
But it didn't crash it on the second day.
There were times where I was trying to go to the next episode and I couldn't get there.
It was easy for me, and I watched it like in the week that it was premiered.
I watched it on Friday.
Yeah, well.
And Saturday. And then most of it again on Sunday. But I've done that with all of them.
Why would you punish yourself to watch that twice?
I've watched all of them twice in a
row.
Anyway.
And people talk about the turds I watch.
You share.
I called Luke Cage a turd. I did. I'm sorry. But after the first half of that show, there shouldn't have been a second half of that show.
It was at least 4 episodes too long.
No, they should have. After the origin episode, it should have ended.
Yeah. I think Iron Fist would have been one suited to the 8 to 10 episode range.
Maybe.
But
there was a lot of story for that show.
There was a lot of story. And I think when you finish watching it as a whole, when you look back at it, it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I see where they're heading. My problem, and I've been hearing people complain about the writing and the story and stuff like that. And my problem.
And the color of the character and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm going to complain about Finn Jones for a second. Not because of the color, but because his martial arts was so shoddy at the beginning that it was really hard to believe he was winning any fights. I think I loved him as Loras Tyrell.
Yeah.
But we also never saw him really fight.
Right.
I think he's just a skinny guy who's good looking, who can act, but he's not an athlete. Like Charlie Cox is obviously an athlete, you know, as Daredevil. He looks great. John Barenthal, like, you know, when he's fighting, it's like, you know, even Mike Coulter, even though Luke Cage was like a bruiser.
Yeah.
You know, they all exhibited some level of athleticism and the grace or power necessary for their characters, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of times where it's like, really, dude, you can't, like, you just kicked him in the shin because you couldn't get your leg up to kick him in the face.
Okay.
I don't know. It was just, I just felt like.
So you think that an Asian actor should have been cast?
No, I'm absolutely not saying
because
that.
Because they all know martial arts, according to the social justice warriors.
I was thinking Jason David Frank.
He's too not blonde enough.
Throw some blonde hair on him.
Yeah.
He'd look awful with blonde hair. But, you know, I mean, there are other people that they could have done.
I think the problem was that character doubted himself.
Too much.
Too much to the point that, you know, it's like, what can I do? I don't have this. You know, I don't know this. You know, so the fighting at the beginning is kind of like, meh. But by the end, he's like, you know, tearing things up and destroying buildings and, you know, all that.
I will say Iron Fist is a 100% Gil Kane joint. You know what I mean? It's so close to Batman. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
No, like the other thing, too, is like he kept that beard.
And you think he should have shaved it?
Well, but I think if he would have shaved it, it would have been too Loras Tyrell. I think he should have had like scruff, like Stephen Amell has like the scruff.
Yeah,
I think that would have been okay.
Then it would have been too Arrow.
Well, because he's much prettier than Stephen Amell is, so you know you don't have to worry about that.
Wow.
But what?
We just lost listeners.
Why?
Because you just insulted Stephen Amell.
I just said he's prettier than Stephen Amell. I didn't say he's handsomer. And, you know, I'm not picking one over the other here.
Yeah.
So, Colleen Wing was my favorite part of this show.
Yeah.
Even though part of her story arc makes zero sense.
Okay.
What?
You have to go into it.
You were just sitting there staring at me.
I'm like, so, okay.
One was it? What's her? Is it Jessica? No. It's not Jessica Henwick, is that?
Yeah.
Jessica Stroop is the other. It's Joy.
Yeah.
Jessica Henwick was awesome. She was great as Nymeria Sand on Game of Thrones. And she pulled over like that power that like the Sand Snakes had and like that confidence.
Well, she looks different too. That's the nice thing about her. I was like, man, I know she was on Game of Thrones.
Which Sand Snake was she?
I had to go check because I couldn't remember which one she was. And I was like, oh, she's the one. Mm. She's the one that's like the scary one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The scary badass.
Yeah.
Nymeria or Nym, if you will.
Yeah.
if you read the books. Like the way she reacted to things, the way she questioned things. And then when we find out she's Hand, but she's not really Hand.
Well, it's a sect.
Now, a sect the thing of the is, hand. Though, is if you remember her from the comic, she was in a sect of the hand called the Nail.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they didn't use that.
Like, they should have called that sect the Nail.
The Nail. Yeah. They're like, yeah, we're part of the hand, but we're called the Nail. And we fight the bad part of the hand.
Right.
You know? And I felt like that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But her and Bakugan or
whatever,
I forget how to say his name.
Baku.
Yeah. Bakugan, something else. Their relationship was interesting.
Bakugan is anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her and Baku, I would have liked to have seen more of that. And maybe we'll get that in the future. You know, she was the perfect way to get Claire Temple into the show.
Right, yeah. Which is all that she was you know.
At first.
But
yeah, I don't know. I just really, really enjoyed her.
I can't wait until we get Danny Rand and Misty Knight together because it'll happen.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And like, so her and Misty Knight in the comics are daughters of the dragon,
right,
which
but
is
Danny
the
and Misty
female.
Had
yeah.
a relationship.
Right. So I want to see them as daughters of the dragon together because the woman that played Misty Knight was my favorite part of Luke Cage.
Well, yeah, she was the best part of Luke Cage.
She was an amazing actress. Two, she is so stinking hot. It's not even funny. And three, like, she was a badass.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know,
I did like all the little tips of the hat to the other Netflix series.
But it got old for a second because when Claire's like, yeah, oh, I know the hand. I fought the hand before. I have a friend who can fight the hand.
Yeah.
Call him.
I had a friend who got killed or a friend who got killed by the hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call him. Call Daredevil. And like Daredevil doesn't have to come and help them fight, but like a nice little consultation.
You just wanted to see him show up.
This we're at the point now where we've had enough of these shows that it's time for the more senior.
But it didn't happen
actors.
In the movie universe either. Well, until the Avengers.
But it's
so.
I don't know.
It's the
I
same
think,
thing. I mean, like you were complaining about Manhattan being a small island.
Yeah.
It's a small island with a lot of people on it.
Yeah, but the difference between where like Danny Rand is and where Hell's Kitchen is.
Yeah.
Is not very many blocks. It's
but
not
enough.
That far.
But enough.
I don't know. But the other thing, too, is if the hand is operating in New York, why isn't Daredevil investigating it?
Because he's not an investigator. He's an attorney.
Well,
you know? Anyway. Yeah. I mean, every argument has a counterpoint.
I get
to it.
I do like that he released the story to Karen Page.
Yeah.
That was great.
Exactly.
Gal was great.
Yeah, but that, and that's the thing is we had Gal. Yeah. So, you know,
fair
the whole thing with the with Jessica Stroop's character. Yeah. Hiring a private investigator who could do her job good
when
she
Jessica
wasn't drunk. And it's like, you know, yeah. The letter that Claire had from Luke, it was like the little tips of the hat.
No, and I get that. It's just I would have liked to see a little more. Faramir was great.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Poor Faramir.
David Wenham.
Yeah. His voice is so recognizable. That's the best thing about him.
Yeah.
You know, it was great to see Trinity back.
Yeah.
I'm just calling them by their character names and other things at this point. Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah.
Johnny's head-butting the microphone right now. I think the series looked good.
We're just going to call him Loras Tyrell. That's Loras Tyrell talking to Trinity while Faramir's over there conspiring against them all.
Well, with Jessica Stroop, do you want me to go Aaron Silver?
That's exactly.
It's sad.
And that's what I told her. So I said, oh, yeah, I said, your girl from 90210 is in this. And she's like, which one? I said, that silver girl. And she goes, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, I don't know her name. I didn't watch the show. I know that she played the character that was a baby on the old show.
Yeah. I know Angel watched some of that.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I remembered that. But
oh, she watched it all.
I didn't watch it all. Yeah. Angel gave up on
that.
Well,
Jessica Stroop's been in other things,
yeah,
too. So it's like she's been around for a while. But she was good. I liked the ending where she will be back eventually. Yeah. So,
Yeah, I just, all in all, I thought this was good. I love
it. I don't know what the hate is for it, because I didn't really have much hate for it. I told you, and I've told people that, you know, watch these shows that are not comic book fans. If I was going to recommend a show besides Daredevil, because I think Daredevil is the best, this would be it. I would not recommend Luke Cage or Jessica Jones to somebody who is just wanting to watch a superhero show.
Okay, so I loved Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
We know this. I enjoyed Luke Cage for the most part.
Yeah.
But I put this on par with Daredevil season one.
Yeah.
Cause I love Daredevil season two.
Sure.
Daredevil season two is my favorite of all of these shows.
Right.
And like someone was giving me crap about that. And they're like, how is it not better than season one? It's like, well, season one's all origin world building.
Yeah.
Season two is Daredevil.
Right.
You know? And I like the two different story arcs and then the way they bring it together with Punisher at the end. I enjoyed Jessica Jones because I read Alias.
Right.
I did too. From start to finish. And I loved Alias.
Right.
So.
But the whole thing where, you know, you cast an actor like David Tennant and then don't use him enough.
And I understand that.
Well, it's the same as in Luke Cage. And I can't pronounce his name.
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
I think.
You cast him, now an Academy Award winning actor.
Right.
You cast him and then you kill him off midway through it.
And you
how
were,
stupid!
And
how
when
stupid.
They it was and replacing him with Alfre Woodard as the villain, which she was awful,
just over the top awful.
She was horrible. And then the guy they brought on as Diamondback, was, and you know, you want to talk about a time you don't want to stick to the character's costume from the comic,
right?
It's freaking Diamondback,
yeah,
because he looked ridiculous.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That whole last half of that that show is like unwatchable.
Yeah.
Unwatchable. I would go back and watch it to the point of the origin, of the origin episode, and then I'd be done.
The only thing that were for me, not the only thing, for one of the things that makes Luke Cage watchable past those first 6-7 episodes is Mike Coulter.
Well, yeah, Mike Coulter's the
good.
Yeah. There's good things about it, but on a whole, it's like, really? The whole, let's bring a brother in that's actually his brother?
Well, yeah, they shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, it's that whole opera stupidity was what, it's like, the storyline in Iron Fist where he fights his brother Davos, who was his brother from Kung Lao, makes more sense than Luke Cage fighting his brother who was
illegitimate the, brother, who was the his son of his father, you know? With.
Yeah. And I'm like, why did they get it wrong in this one, but they got it right in that one? Like, literally, I can tell you, I watched Luke Cage, and I was like, when is this over? I watched Iron Fist, and I'm like, I hope this, like, goes on a little bit more. Yeah. And the story kept going. And, man, the fight scenes in that show were just some of the best fight scenes in Iron Fist.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 6 was the best episode of Iron Fist, when he went through the gauntlet and everything.
Yeah.
But David made a really good point, which I don't 100% agree with, but he felt like that episode should have been more like The Raid.
I haven't seen The Raid. Okay. So, yeah.
I know.
It's just one of those ones that's not less streaming.
Like, and less like a bunch of boss battles in a video game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, and I can see
Well, at one point
that.
I thought the Spider Girl was Typhoid Mary.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's not her.
Yeah. Plus, she's dead.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying is like if they would have done that where they introduced a Daredevil villain in the Iron Fist story and then she crosses over, it's
wasn't
like,
Typhoid
oh, wow.
Mary White in the comics, so
it don't matter.
You can't.
It don't matter.
But
it don't matter.
So, no, I'm just being facetious.
Doesn't Misty Knight have a robot arm at this point in the comic books? Why didn't she have it in Luke
Cage? No, but they did tease that awesomely when she got shot in the arm. It's like, yeah, she's going to get the robot arm now. And then she did. And it was like,
That's because they haven't met Tony Stark yet.
Oh, yeah, he made the arm.
And that's the thing. You complain about why isn't Daredevil showing up. Yeah. Wait a minute. Tony Stark lives right down the street from Iron Fist.
Yeah. Well, how come we can't see the Avenger Tower?
You do, but they don't have the A on it. It's the tallest building around.
You just see the back of it.
You see the other side. The big building down there. Hey, that's Avengers Tower.
Yeah.
I mean, in the long shots on Luke Cage, you actually could see the A.
Yeah.
In the distance. And it's like, oh, hey, there's Avengers Tower. But, so, you know.
Anywho. All right. Well.
I mean, and that's the thing is I think at this point in this comic book thing where everybody's a fan and that it's getting to the point where it's fancy to say I didn't like that because of this. Read the books. Read the damn books.
All right. So rank the fifth series?
This is the
yeah. Rank them.
I wouldn't say this fifth series.
Yeah, it's just rank it by seasons. So Daredevil gets 2 seasons cuz I don't think it's fair to just right. I mean,
rank
if you're gonna rank it as a hero,
yeah,
I go Daredevil, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage.
That's the way. That's it, right there.
Of course, if you'd asked me this yesterday, I probably would have. I might have flipped Jessica Jones and Iron Fist.
No,
but if you
Jessica Jones is a good story, but it's missing things.
Yeah,
missing. Like slight small things and that. I think a little bit more of the Purple Man would have helped.
A little bit less nuke.
More showing what he did to her would have helped.
Well, just earlier. They took too long to get
to her. The nuke thing was a little too much.
There was too much nuke. Yeah. And he should have been a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Yeah. A former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Sure.
That's how that should have happened. But anywho, all right. All right, so 1 out of 10, 1 through 10, whatever. Where do you rank?
For Iron Fist?
Yeah, what do you give it?
Probably a solid 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 7, 7.5.
Yeah. Because I think like Daredevil season 1 and 2, I would give like 9s to.
Okay.
I enjoyed both of them. Luke Cage would be a 5. Good enough, but not good enough.
Yeah. And you give
Jessica Jones a 6. Okay. Maybe a 6.5.
So.
Yeah. I don't think any of them have reached the pinnacle of Daredevil yet.
No.
I think Defenders might be the one that does that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of story. That's going to be a lot of story. And I do think that Sigourney Weaver probably should have been introduced on this one.
Yeah. And we also have a Punisher series coming as well. Oh, don't forget about
that. That's next year.
Is he going to be in the Defenders, you think?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Cool. You got anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Awesome.
Oh, don't forget we have a Patreon page.
We do have a Patreon page. Do you remember what the URL is?
Patreon.com/infamouspodcast.
Boom. Mic drop. God. I should have ended it right there. That's your mic. You bought it. Like, so
clunk. There. Mic drop.
Clunk. That's your mic drop. When your mic doesn't work anymore, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'll just switch them out one day. Across the room. I still got a snowball.
Snowball won't work with that. We got the other one, the ATR 2100. Anyway.
It's going to take a lot more than a boom.
I hope. I really hope. But
if it doesn't, I want my money back.
Yeah. All right. You can find us online at Infamous Podcast on social network or infamouspodcast.com on social networks at Infamous Podcast. And if you want to email us and let us know what you thought, and we do really want to hear what you guys thought, it's contact@infamouspodcast.com or Brian@infamouspodcast.com or Johnny@infamouspodcast.com.
No hate mail. Don't hate me because I think that Iron Fist was supposed to be a white character because he's been a white character.
Don't hate Johnny because he's beautiful. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Where can they find you online and let some of the hate out?
Instagram and Twitter. Johnny Potter.
Cool. And I'm Brian Tudor on most social networks as Brian Tudor. All right. Well, on that note, next week we have we reviewed the Santa Clarita Diet. So
yes.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Tasty. Made me hungry watching that show. Anyway. Well, it's like when we went to the Bodies exhibit. We went out for dinner and I had ribs. That's all I wanted to eat. All right. Well,
cannibal.
Taste of chicken.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to throw something else in. Kind of an advertisement. The Ohio Toy and Comic Show is coming up in July. But right now they've got a contest going on to design their banner.
Oh, is that still going on?
I thought you won until the end of March.
Okay.
The end of March, and then I think they're doing it as a voting.
Okay, so you guys have a few days. Check out OhioToyAndComicShow.com.
I believe so, yeah. Okay. Go to their Facebook page, yeah. I'm pretty sure, or their Instagram page. I'm sure it's on there.
Yeah, you can search our website for when we interviewed them.
Bring it on, because I'm designing banners.
Banners. Anywho. I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was now. All right, guys.
Are you in the kid bot seeing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers this weekend?
Most likely.
Do a review and post it.
Maybe.
I want to hear a review with the kid bot.
Oh, God. She'll just sit there and look at the microphone.
No, she won't.
Anyway.
She'll talk.
I know, I'm teasing. All right. Well, on that note, wherever you guys are, whenever you're listening to this, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whatever it is.
Thanks for listening.
Later.